Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojoba Maria Ensoroma. And the month of September is a mineral month, and the elemental opportunities it provides have all to do with connecting purposefully to ourselves, other people, places, and things that support the truth of who we are. Tonight, I would begin a three-part series on the theme, Honoring Your Genius. And in this broadcast, I'll be sharing wisdom and insights on your genius and your sacred contract. Now, for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk, which is that it's a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, I broadcast live, unless I'm on a hiatus or a trip, and in addition to listening through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you may listen to this live broadcast and or call into the show at area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. I also want to remind you that the web link provided on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, or Black Hole Radio's Facebook page, and a constant contact email that some of you may get, that serves as an archive link once the show is complete. So if you're unable to listen to the entire broadcast, if you're unable to listen live, you can listen later. So now I invite you to sit back or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Now, I want to let you know that I am so blessed this evening to be at a family gathering. I haven't gathered with my family since last year in May, and that was for the graduation of a great nephew. And now this year, I'm back for the 16th birthday party of my oldest great niece. And my brother and sister came down from New York. I actually came in from Milwaukee on my way back to Santa Monica. And we've just been having a ball. So there are about 14 kids involved in this family, along with my five nieces. My nephew wasn't able to make it. There's a bunch of us gathered, and the kids have just been having a good time. We've just been eating and dancing in the kitchen all day long. I can't, it started in the morning and it's still going. So if you hear some background noise, I apologize, but at the same time, I'm so happy for it because we have just been really having such a wonderful day. And normally I probably would have done a rebroadcast, but I wanted to stay on schedule as much as I could this month because I do have to do a rebroadcast at the very end of the month when I am going to be back in Milwaukee doing one last elemental ritual for the year. So that will be at the end of the month. So, again, just bear with the background noise, if you will, if it gets a little crazy. But for the most part, they know that I'm broadcasting. They're going to try to stay as muffled as they possibly can. Now, to open my show every week, I always like to start with honoring the ancestors. And I thought for today, on this 9th of September, a 9-9 day, that I would honor those ancestors who practice and demonstrated patience and perseverance. Patience and perseverance. So right now, I invite you to take in a few deep breaths, then close your eyes and think about the ancestors. And remember, they can be blood related or not. You could have known them in person or not. But think about those people who were able to practice patience and perseverance. Do you see that person in your mind? And once you do, let's take about a good 30 seconds to say their name aloud and thank them for what they did to give you an understanding about patience and perseverance and the importance of that, especially for the times that we are living in right now. So ancestors, ancestors, ancestors who demonstrated, who practiced, who lived patience and perseverance, we are so grateful to you because we're in a time where we could easily try to believe that things are so bad and will never, never get better, that they're only going to get worse. But you have helped us learn that especially when things look so bad, that's the time to be patient and to hang in there, persevere, because the change is going to come. And so we thank you. We thank you for the blessing of your ability. We ask and thank you for coming and reminding us of the importance of this kind of posture. And we ask you and thank you for making us aware when we are getting too impatient or when we're going into despair and starting to give up. And Creator, I want to thank you. Thank you for these great emissaries that you've given us access to, these ancestors. And I thank you in the name of all that is holy. I say amen. Asheho, Asashinga, Bismillah. So, I want to share some elemental wisdom with you for Monday, the 10th, because again, the elemental week begins on a Monday this year because January 1st started on a Monday. And so this week we have an Earth week. And this is really very synchronistic because in a minute I'm going to talk about the new moon in Virgo and how the majority of the planets are in Earth signs this week and what that means. So the elemental wisdom for this week, the opportunity is about giving support. It's about paying it forward, being an inspiration, offering assistance without expecting anything material in return. It's about demonstrating your ability to be generous, compassionate, considerate, and trustworthy. It's about invoking the generative, nourishing, and abundant universal love energy of the earth to be of service to others. In doing this in a humble and balanced way, you will be gifting your soul with unconditional love. This emotional resource will serve you well as you continue to move through unexpected barriers to the fulfillment of your annual commitments. As you comfort others, you will be comforted. So I just love that. I just love that notion of, you know, focusing this week on generosity and compassion, consideration and trustworthiness. Just, oh, it's just so wonderful. So here's some distractions. One is complaining. You know, it's so easy for us to find even the littlest thing to complain about. But this week, let's avoid that as much as we can when we find ourselves going into that because, you know, it's such a conditioned response, so easy to do. When we find ourselves moving into that, let's make a promise to ourselves that we'll shift out of it because we want to focus again on the generosity, the compassion, the considerateness. And so by focusing on that, that's how you will move out of that complaint kind of posture. Also, another distraction is expecting others to do what you can do. You know, oftentimes we get so angry at someone we love even, because we have an expectation that the way we see things or the way we go about doing things or handling things, that they should be able to do that. But they may either have a whole different way or what we consider a problem. It may not be a problem to them. So letting go of that attachment, and that it's a control drama, expecting others to do what only you can do. And then last but not least, the fear of not being appreciated or compensated. Wow, that one, I tell you, it really takes up a lot of time. And it's something that we don't need to stay in because either somebody is going to value us, acknowledge us, and do the right thing, or they're not, right? There's just no in-between. and often not being valued, not being appropriately compensated, is really saying that this person to value themselves. And if you value yourself, you don't force someone who can't value you or value themselves to be able to do that. You move forward, you move on. So hopefully this elemental wisdom is of service to you this week. And next week, on Monday the 17th, we'll begin a fire week. And, of course, I'll tell you all about that in the next broadcast. Now, like I said, synchronicity in terms of this being an earth week elementally, because astrologically we are right now going into a new moon. A new moon, and new moons are always opportunities for setting an intention for the month, something that you want to get done, something that you want to receive, something you want to do. You know, this is a good day into tomorrow to consciously do that. According to Barbara Goldsmith, my favorite astrologer, she said this is a time of miracles and magic. And again, during this new moon, seven of the nine planets are in earth signs, which is rare. And she says, with so much earth, it is time to get centered and grounded. It's time to consciously resist attempts to escape from problems, upsets, and issues that require your full attention. She says, this aspect is asking you to accept whatever situation is right now in your life. There may be disappointment, disillusion, loss of hope, but don't allow yourself to lose faith, because we have a very fortunate grand trine astrologically in the earth sign, which is offering you the opportunity to bring your dreams into reality. She says this new moon brings a frequency of healing and revitalization. It's a good time for detoxification and cleansing. She says Virgo, which is the sign that this new moon is in, it loves cleanliness. So if you want to get out of any poisons from your system, from your environment, from your life, this is a great time to do so. She says get rid of old things that have held you back and create a new body of energy for yourself. And by the way, the astrological sign of Virgo, it is associated with our physical bodies, with our health, with our work, our daily habits, our productivity, being of service to others. Again, such a synchronicity with this week. And so, you know, getting grounded, and being grounded means that you're really present, you're here, you're not trying to, again, escape or run away from this world, from this 3D existence. You're more concerned about transcending, being stuck in a situation, but it's not about running away from it. You have to face it. You have to look at it and deal with it if you're going to evolve out of it, if you're going to grow out of it. And another thing to be aware of astrologically at this time is that both Mercury and Mars have gone direct. And so whatever, you know, was stuck over the summer months, you know, things that may have gotten held up for you or blocked for you, you should be experiencing some forward movement with that now. And things should feel more easy. So, again, this wonderful Earth Week coming up, want to be grounded. And you can, you know, Google that. There's some wonderful stuff online that will talk about spiritual grounding, what that means to really help yourself be centered and in your body so that you can deal with the things that you need to deal with and not have them grow into bigger concerns or issues for you. Wow. Good stuff. Very good. So let me give you an overview of tonight's program. which is I'm going to start off with defining what I mean when I say genius. And I really do believe that everyone has a genius. Next, I'm going to talk about your sacred contract so that you have an understanding of that, if you don't already. And then third, I will talk about how your genius is connected to your sacred contract and why that's important. And last but not least, I will give you a personal challenge to do this week. Now, my quote that I included in my announcement for tonight's broadcast is reported as coming from Albert Einstein, but I read something on the web where somebody had investigated and said, no, Einstein never says this, or he didn't say it exactly this way, you know. And you know, I don't know whether to believe him or just to believe it. And, you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter whether Einstein said this or not. It's just a great quote. So whoever said it, putting Einstein's name to it, if he didn't say it, makes a lot of sense because it's something that I very, very much believe in. It's very much a part of the ancient wisdom that I keep, and that is that everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. And that's why we need lots, not just reform in our educational systems, we need an overhaul. We need really something completely different than what we're doing now. So let me talk about what I mean by genius, because, of course, when we hear the word genius for most of us, we think about people like Albert Einstein or Beethoven or Leonard Bernstein, who's just celebrating his what would have been his 100th birthday, or the person who, you know, figured out how to land a man on the moon, all the people that did that, you know, that's genius. But according to the ancient wisdom from the Daggara of Burkina Faso, West Africa, this notion of genius is not about people who do extraordinary things that not everyone can do. Genius isn't just set aside for a chosen few. Genius is something that everyone possesses because everyone is here for a purpose. And everyone has something that they do so well. Like it's what they do, they don't even think about it. It's just like natural to them. And it can be something that they do learn and they practice at, and their practicing enables them to do it really well. But it's their thing, it's their unique thing. It's a thing that they can do really, really well. That is what I mean when I talk about genius. And genius comes in all forms, all shapes, and all sizes. Genius can be, again, something like an Albert Einstein unlocking some of the codes to how the universe works, you know, almost reinventing science, physical science as it had been known, or it can be someone who is able to wake up every morning and happily go into a job where they work with the public and are able to be kind and cheerful and considerate. In other words, that they don't transfer their pain onto other people when they're doing their work. And I know we've all had an experience with a person like that. That to me is genius. That's really genius. It's much easier to just take stuff out on people, you know. To have someone who's able to be kind and considerate and consistently so, you know, that's genius. That's genius. And so everybody has something that they are good at, that they're able to do, that you know, makes them the unique person that they are. And when we think about this, when we think about everybody having some genius, this goes along with there are no disposable people. See, I was reading, as I was preparing for the show, an article about, again, that quote from Einstein. It was written by a college professor, you know, so somebody who's supposed to have some legitimacy to what they talk about. But I didn't agree with this person at all, because what they were saying is, no, not everybody has genius. But you don't have to be a genius to understand math, and you don't have to be a genius to play the piano, and you don't have to be a genius to doing that. You just have to put in hard work and good time, and you can do it. But that doesn't mean you're genius. And, you know, on the one hand, because from a Western perspective, I understand what the point he was trying to make. But what he wasn't getting is that right away he was creating these categories for what someone does and saying that, you know, well, you'll never be genius, but at least you can do it, you know. Instead of getting it that, no, genius is something that everyone has. Because, and if you know the life of Albert Einstein, he may have been genius in terms of his ability to crack the codes of the universe, but he was horrible in his family life. Fatherhood was something that was so hard for him, very hard for him. And so somebody else, maybe they can't crack the codes of the universe, but they can be a magnificent father. I have several of them in my family here, and these men that just are so amazing as fathers, and so loving, and you know, and just really there, you know, really present for their children. And so that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about genius. It's not about saying that, you know, there are these genius people and that makes them, you know, kind of the perfect people, because that's not true. That's not what it's about. So, again, back to no disposable people. If we think that genius comes to only a few, see, then we begin to think that it's okay to get rid of the ones who aren't genius. You know, if the genius people become the valued people, the people that are valuable. But if people don't have genius, well, you know, we can let them die, or we can treat them horribly. And again, these are definitely things and thoughts that have been going on throughout history. So we're at a point as human beings in our consciousness, and we have so many examples of what I call the disposing of people, creating the other, and then using that as the excuse to annihilate or exclude or oppress, you know. And right now in the United States, we have that going on in terms of, you know, people trying to immigrate from Latin America and also other parts of the world, and they're being treated like the other, instead of just human beings who are looking for asylum, looking for shelter, looking for a better life. Yeah, it's just really interesting. So to counter that, we have got to begin to unlearn the ways in which we have created these distinctions that separate us as human beings. And we've got to start considering and practicing and believing in ways that bring us together as human beings. So I just love, 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 love this ancient wisdom about everyone having genius. And I'll tell you, I've been so conditioned to think that, you know, genius only belonged to a few, that when my African teacher tells us about this in our group, I'll never forget it, and was saying, and he talked about, you have a genius, you have a genius, you're a genius. And I'm saying, like, maybe he didn't translate it right. Maybe he didn't get the translation right. Maybe there's another word he means to use. Maybe he doesn't mean to use genius. But no, he meant to use genius, and he explained about that. And it opened my eyes to, wow, that's really nice. Everybody has genius. And so what it does for us, I think, as a species, besides eliminating, you know, this belief in disposable people, I think it also enables us to want to value other people in ways that we normally wouldn't. Because if you think about it, if you believe that everybody's got a genius, that everybody is here for a purpose to do something that can contribute to the health and the well-being and the prosperity and the growth and the harmony and the peace and freedom of other people. Wow, that's pretty big and important. So it kind of makes us want to value other people or get curious about, like, what is that person's genius? You know, being here with my 14 great-grand nieces and nephews, and then my 5 nieces, I have been thinking about that as I'm interacting with them. And with the little ones, I'll ask them, what do you like to do? Do you like to do this? Do you like to do that? What do you really like to do? And it's important that they're thinking about that and they're hearing somebody ask them that, because that's how they become conscious of their genius. One of my great nephews has taken up piano playing, and he actually is performing in his church, and he's just learning how to chord, but he has such a good ear, and he does such a good job with rhythm. You know, he can really hear the beat and stay on beat, and he's just on fire about it. And that's his genius. That's just his genius, and he loves it. He loves it. And, of course, you can have more than one way in which your genius shows up. But the thing about genius is that, again, it is purposeful, purpose-filled. It's something that you love to do, something that you find easy to do. And even though, again, like with my great-nephew with piano, yeah, he's got to practice, he's got to learn, but he loves that. It's not a chore for him. It's not difficult for him. It's a kind of challenge he wants to take on. And so that's what it is with your genius. It's you have a facility. There's an easiness for you in taking on the challenge of this thing that you just love doing, that you find yourself called to do, pulled in to do. The difference, I want to talk a bit about the difference between genius and purpose before I jump into sacred contract. So the genius, when I'm talking about the genius, I'm talking about the skills, abilities, the talents, the gifts that one possesses and one uses in their life. The genius, this is kind of what holds that genius in place. It supports you being able to take care of that genius, to express that genius, to love that genius, to share that genius. So the purpose, you can think of it as it gives it shape. It can also help to define it. So purpose and genius really kind of go hand in hand, hand in hand. This isn't just about I have an ability for the sake of an ability. It's I have this genius for a purpose. There's something I'm supposed to be doing with it. There's some way that I'm supposed to be using it. So sacred contracts, and I have talked about this on my show many times, and I refer to it a lot because I really think it's important for us to believe that we're here not just to survive, not just to be dropped here and to figure out, you know, how to be in the world and survive. I think we really come for higher purposes, for things beyond just our 3D reality. I think we come here to really understand, experience, to uplift, share love in all its forms. And, you know, sometimes to be able to know something, especially in this 3D dimension, you usually have to experience the opposite. So this way you know the difference. So your sacred contract is what it is, first of all, that you've agreed you want to come in this realm to learn about, what your soul needs in order to grow. Because everything that exists in the universe evolves. That's what the universe does, it evolves. And so our souls evolve, our souls grow, they get bigger, they get wiser, they get deeper, they expand. And so to do that, you've got to, on learning something, and again, it's something that relates to love. And because it's about love, that means that in your life, you are going to have experiences that are connected to fear, so that you can learn the difference between love and fear. So, for example, I'll take Helen Keller. And Helen Keller was, I believe she was born unable to hear, to see, and to speak. And it may have been that she got a sickness that created those conditions, but I think she may have been born that way. And at the time when children were born like that, there was, you know, kind of a belief that the devil had breathed on them, or there was something that the parents did wrong for a child to come like that. But most importantly, people didn't believe that this person was really human. They didn't believe that this person had a soul. And Helen Keller, through her journey, she had very loving parents who also were wealthy, and so they were able to hire Annie, who comes and teaches Helen how to connect with the world outside of herself. Although she couldn't speak, she couldn't hear, she couldn't see. And Annie does it through writing in her hand the letters and then having her touch something to make the connection. And Helen wakes up to be able to communicate, and she goes on to, you know, be a spokesperson for people who are, you know, sight impaired and speech impaired. She, you know, is just an amazing advocate for, you know, more supports in the society, because she demonstrated that she was intelligent, that she was aware and wise. She met at least two or three presidents during her lifetime. She was amazing. And so if we think about the contract of Helen, what did she come down to the earth to learn? And also, what was her purpose? And if we look at it, you know, one thing she came to learn is how to be loving, even when you can't hear, you can't speak, and you can't see, the people you're supposed to love. How do you do that? And Helen proved to us that the human spirit is bigger and more powerful than any of our physical attributes, meaning that even when we can't hear, when we can't see, when we can't speak, we can still love. And she also provided evidence that we have a human spirit because Annie was able to connect with Helen beyond her ability to, you know, speak, hear, and see. So it's evidence that, again, there's this force, you know, this powerful force within us. You know. And I love Helen's story, and I think it's a great example of what a sacred contract can be. You know, we have sacred contracts with certain people to be certain places, to do certain things, to see certain things, or in Helen's case, to feel certain things. You know, we have these contracts, and it's important that we do these things because it's all connected to a much bigger plan for the evolution of humanity, of this earth, of this universe. So it's very, very powerful, and I feel a lot of assurance and a lot of love knowing that I'm living through a sacred contract, that I've agreed to do certain things in certain ways and at certain times. It reassures me that there is meaning to my life, that I'm not just here to survive, and I'm not just nothing, that I'm valuable, that my existence matters, and that I have genius inside me that I have promised to use in a particular way with particular people in particular times. So I never have to feel like, who am I? Why am I here? What do I need to do? What's going to happen in my life? I never have to feel like that. I always feel like, yes, I'm here for a purpose. Now, there are times when I don't know what's coming up or how it's coming up, but I do know that it will come in a way that supports me in my genius, that supports me doing what it is that I do best. And that's all I need to know. That's what's most important. I don't have to figure it out or make it up. So we understand genius. We understand a sacred contract. Now let's put it together. Let's look at the connection between your sacred contract and your genius. Why is this necessary? This is necessary because without a conscious awareness that you have a genius and that it's for a purpose, for, you know, a purpose meaning that it's going to help other people along with yourself, but then it's going to affect the people around you. It's going to affect people outside of you. You're not this island unto yourself, you know. Your genius is to be there for you, to work with you, to help you navigate through life, to be guided through life. And so knowing this, having a consciousness of this is so important because otherwise you can very easily slip into using your genius in the wrong way, in ways that are not constructive but that are destructive. You know, when we think about, you know, people who are sociopathic or, you know, against society, right? You know, because of whatever wounds they received early on in life or maybe inherited from their ancestors, but that people who believe the world is out to get them, so they're going to get the world first. These people have a genius. And so there's something that they do very well that they use in unhealthy ways, in harmful ways. And so it's important, so important, that we adopt a belief system about genius connected to purpose. Connected to purpose. That it's not just having these gifts and abilities just to have them, but that they're to be put to good use, that they should be helping other people, maybe helping other people discover their genius and use their genius appropriately and in a loving manner, in a loving manner. And without going into any examples, because we have so many today, we know that there are people who are very genius, but also very wounded and who transfer their pain onto other people. And yes, they were genius in one area of their lives. They may have made some contribution, but they also were very harmful to people. So it's really important to understand genius as connected to your sacred contract. And your sacred contract, again, is the reason that you are alive, the reason that you have come into this realm to be breathing, to be thinking, to be creating, to be loving, to be experiencing all kinds of negativity just so you can get back to the love. So you can get back to the love. I think that often, too often in our culture, we put such an emphasis on people being intelligent and knowledgeable, you know, genius in the typical way that we think of it. And as that being the way that you will succeed the most in life. And we negate and exclude people who may not have an intelligence that can be identified or understood through standardized testing. But they have an intelligence nonetheless, but they may not do well on standardized tests, because that's just one way in which people learn. And it has a lot to do with memorizing and being able to, you know, spit things back in a timed manner. But there are people who, you know, they learn through touching. They learn through touching things. Or there are people who learn through hearing things. But writing may be a challenge for them. So there are these multiple intelligences. We now know this, and the schools that are really into reform actually integrate that into their curriculum, into their lessons. So these seven different ways of learning, and I think there's more, but these are the ones that are most popular. I think there are non-physical ways beyond, you know, just using your brain that we do learn. Excuse me, I need a little water there. And so when we focus only on one way for people to be identified as brilliant, as genius, we really do a disservice. we do a disservice. And we set up for the kinds of, you know, disasters, man-made disasters that we've had around the use of nuclear energy. You know, Chernobyl is one. Three Mile Island outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is another one. That was a really scary one. And, of course, the Fukushima accident. Because those were all very intelligent people putting together those nuclear power plants. But they weren't able to consider enough of what would happen if something went wrong. Because if they had considered that enough, they wouldn't use it. They wouldn't use it. And they wouldn't allow money and, you know, wanting to be right about this is the best alternative to supplying electricity to the masses. They would come up with another way. They'd use their genius, you know, to come up with another way. So they needed to have some people around the table when they're planning these things out who were genius in regards to how we sustain human life, how we make sure that people are safe and healthy. Because if you had some of those genius people at the table, you know, they wouldn't have built those nuclear power plants, or they definitely wouldn't have built them in as close a proximity to humans as they did, to residential areas as they did. So, knowing your genius, understanding that it is part of and defined by your sacred contract is a very, very important part of growing your consciousness, of evolving your understanding of your life. It's a very important part of creating more meaning and growing the quality of your life. The quality of your life can be affected by this. So here is my personal challenge to you for this week. I would like you, and even if you think you know, to light a candle and call on your gods, your ancestors, or spirit guides, or angels, whatever loving entities that you have in your life. And to ask them to either reveal or validate your genius as I've defined it according to the ancient Dagara wisdom. This is so important because I know most people in Western culture really don't know what their genius is. They have been told that what they need to be good at is making a living. And, you know, the way in which most people make a living is to be employed by a institution or a company. That's what most people do in Western culture, and that may not be what your genius is all about. There are some people who love to draw or do some kind of artistic work. They may have been told, oh, you'll never make any money from that. You'll be poor. You won't have any retirement. It's not worth it. Go get a real job. But that person's genius, you know, may be their art. but they may have given it up or pushed it aside so that they could make money in a way that they were told is how they can make money. And again, there's this genius thing in terms of, you know, art. Are you good enough, you know? But if you really love it, you really, really love it, you will be good enough. It's interesting how easy it is for us to deny our genius. So this personal challenge is designed to help you reconnect with it, remember it, open up to it. And again, like I said, even if you think you know it, even if you think you know your genius, call on those spirit guides and loving entities to help you. Now, for it to be revealed and validated, it could come in so many ways. It could come in a dream. It could come in a movie that you watch. It could come in a book. It could come in a conversation that you have with somebody where somebody says to you, you know, you're really good at fill in the blank. And you're like, really? That's happened to me. And you're like, really? You know, and you start to think about it. Maybe I am, you know. So give yourself at least 3 days to a week or even more for it to show up, the reveal or the validation. It'll be very, very interesting. And I will build on that in the next broadcast. So in closing, I want to first my wonderful engineer, Ms. Maxia, who is a senior in high school this year, and I'm so grateful to her on a Sunday night to take time out of her weekend and be my engineer. And so to her and her family and the entire Black Hole Be Well family, I thank you. Thank you for supporting this important work that I do. Also, a shout out to all my regular listeners, especially Ms. Sarah, who, again, just is such a wonderful example of how I don't care how old you get, you still have to know your genius and you still have to take care of it and share it. And she does that so beautifully and so consciously on a daily basis, To all of you who have wisdom walked with me and you know who you are, to my family and spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, thank you. And including those listening in for the first time, thank you as well. I couldn't do this without your listenership. Now, next week, I will continue my theme for September, Honoring Your Genius, with wisdom and insights on living your genius. Don't forget about my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, where you can find archives of my links under the events page or events part of that page. And last but not least, I want to thank my guides, my God, my ancestors, all the loving entities that work with me, walk with me, keep my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Now, have a fabulous week, and remember that you are not disposable. You are divine. Remember, it's an Earth week, and you have all this wonderful Earth energy, magic and miracles. Look for it along with your genius. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.